Good morning. Funny thing happened this morning. I'll tell you about it in a little bit. Right now, I want you to turn to Galatians 5. We read this last week. We're just going to pick up with verse 22 this week and read through verse 25. We're embarking now on a series about the fruit of the Spirit. If you were here last week, you heard about love and joy and peace, the outer virtues which we seek to have. And this week we start with those other six virtues, those inner virtues. Excuse me, those are the outer virtues. I feel like this is a sermon about a navel. Is it an innie or an outie? The inner virtues are love, joy, and peace. The outer virtues we'll start with today. That'll help you get to the inner virtues. Let's read together. Be quiet, Sandy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. These are the words of God. And may He add His blessing to this partial reading of His holy word. Let's pray together. Dear Father, good morning. Thank you for being here with us. Open our hearts and minds this morning that we may hear not the speaker, not the music, but you, as you talk to us and bring us closer to you. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all the hearts present be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I work with an iPad up here. I write my sermons and I practice my sermons. And then eventually I transfer them over to an iPad. It's so portable. And I always have a backup. I always print my sermons. If I can get out of the house, if I don't, Cindy won't let me go. But this morning we were busy and I didn't print it. And this morning, when I opened it up, it looked different from last night. It was this big. There's not a pair of glasses in this room that could have read it. And thanks to Shep and some others, Mark, I think it's here. I'm afraid to touch the thing, but I do need to refer to it here and there, and thank you for your help. I think we'll be okay. And no, I will never come over here again without having printed something. Do you know anybody who has macrothumia? That's the name of the sermon today. Have you ever experienced it? Small Eskimo villages in the northern tundra of the Arctic have been known to be widely populated with it. So have similar-sized villages far below the equator in East Africa and South America. Soldiers have experienced it in foxholes, and sailors have also found it prevalent at sea. I spent a couple of years at sea, and I had it there too. It's rarely terminal. In fact, it's often proved to be quite a useful experience to have macrothumia. It's a great value in most cultures, but very easy to lose or misplace. Once lost, it usually takes a while to work through that range of negative emotions that tend to follow its loss. Macrothumia. I personally have it almost every morning when I wake. Look at that. Usually I've lost it before lunchtime. My wife is constantly urging me to find it again. On a Friday night some years ago, it's been more than some now, we all came in from work about the same time. I'd had a long week and I was really tired, and Cindy had put in a long day at her job too. Our youngest daughter was still with us then, and she came home from several days of having to be on for the public, you know how that is. And we sat on the porch to let the work of the day sort of slip away from us. And as so often happens, we turned to serious discussion a little too soon, with the events of the day still fresh upon us. Thoughts turned to our daughter's job prospects. The thrill and accomplishment of her college graduation was still fresh, and I wanted to know about her plans. Somebody's been through that too, huh? I wanted to know right then. I wanted my daughter to tell me all about how hard she'd been trying and what her short-term plan was. I wanted to tell her how I would handle it. And for some reason, my daughter wasn't particularly interested in my plan for her. Furthermore, she wasn't particularly interested in telling me her plan either. Turns out that just when I needed it, I didn't have any macrothumia, and she didn't either. Instead of trying to find mine, I just plowed right in, and the result was way too predictable. Hurt feelings on both sides. Now, have you figured out anything about macrothumia yet? You probably realize it doesn't come in a bottle. And it's not a physical state, not exactly. So what is it? I think that school teachers must have a lot of it. And homeschool teachers too. I think that women tend to have more of it than men. I can tell you that everyone needs it, no matter what age they are, that few people ever seem to have enough of it. If they do, we tend to call them saints. In Galatians 5:22, the Apostle Paul talks about macrothumia. He places great value on it as well. In fact, it's fourth on his short list of nine virtues that make up the fruit of the Spirit. You see, macrothumia is the Greek word for patience. Paul likes this word. He uses it 8 times in his New Testament writings. He uses it in a number of ways, and he uses it with a diverse group. Twice in the book of Romans, Paul uses the word in reference to God's patience with us. Listen to this. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? That's Romans 2. Here in Romans 9, he says, what if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? Or you can go to 2 Corinthians 6. And he says, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love. He's calling attention to his own patience, Paul is. And he does it again in 2 Timothy 3:10, talking to Timothy. He says, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul speaks from his heart to Timothy, his son in the faith, about patience and preaching the gospel. You know this passage. Preach the word, be ready in season and out, reprove, rebuke and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Back in Timothy 1, Paul comments on Jesus' perfect patience. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience. In the book of Ephesians 4, macrothumia is a trait essential for us to walk in the Christian faith. He says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And finally, in the text for today, you heard that. Paul is telling the Galatian churches that patience is one of those 9 traits comprising the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm having trouble here because this thing is single space now. It's driving me nuts. But we're getting there. In these passages, Paul characterizes patience as a godly virtue used by Paul himself, essential for those who would teach or preach the gospel, modeled by Jesus. These are all these various uses we just heard, paramount to us as we act out our Christianity and faith. And finally, as part of the fruit of the Spirit. Paul has used patience to describe interaction with the three persons of the Trinity, to the self, to others, to preachers, to teachers, and to those who would call themselves Christian. I think that is pretty inclusionary, don't you? I can't think of much that he's left out. For me these days, patience is in part the ability to try 5 extra times to button my collar without becoming exasperated. I got it the first time this morning. This patience being hanging around in line long enough to get the ticket to the concert. Does it mean not getting mad when you can't solve that math equation on the first pass? Does it mean waiting until you can pay cash or something instead of using that credit card? Maybe. Patience has a lot of nuances. In the world of the Christian, it's first on Paul's list of those outer character traits which will help to create and nurture the love and joy and peace that we want to dwell inside us. And I think it's probably not accidental that it's first on that list. I'm not sure you'll ever get to the other 5 unless you have patience. Now, since Paul put a great deal of stock in macrothumia or patience, it might do to pry a little more into what exactly Paul was getting at. Reading the Bible sometimes means reading around. You ever heard somebody say, if you want to know what really is being said, treat a passage like it's in a sandwich. Read what came before, read what comes after. Not bad advice. It all works together, and sometimes it helps to see how Paul uses words in other contexts. I looked a little further, and it turns out that Paul used another Greek word that also means patience. It's a word we might pronounce as hupomone, which is also translated as perseverance and steadfast endurance. Paul uses that 3 times in the New Testament. Macrothumia, on the other hand, is also translated as long-suffering and forbearing. Now we have 2 words that say about 6 different things, don't they? So the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. The fruit of the Spirit is forbearing. I don't know about you, but I'm really glad that the Holy Spirit has fruit like that. I need a spirit that can be long-suffering, willing to wait and wait and wait for me to get my act together. I need a fruit that will help me wait for the fullness of time, for the maturity and judgment I need to bring to a situation. I needed it this morning when I thought this thing was shot and I was going to have to invent all this. And I had it. Strange things do happen. I don't know about you, but I need the Holy Spirit to be forbearing. I need that fruit inside me as well. I need my character to be willing not to act, not to jump in too soon, not to rush to judgment. That's forbearance. That's a fruit I can taste. I know because I've tasted what it's like to be not patient too many times. We always want to act. There's an old saw that says, he who hesitates is lost. Compare that to what Jesus advised. Forgive your neighbor 70 times 7. If you want to follow Jesus, get prepared to walk against much of what society is trying to teach us. To follow Jesus is to take that road less traveled. Or as Jesus might put it, to walk on that narrow path through the narrow gate. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. There's more that Paul has to teach us. But that will do for this Sunday. In fact, that's quite a lot to digest. Patience in the context of macrothumia is not just holding back. It's the positive, listen now, it's the positive action of non-action. Don't mistake it for inaction. Far from it. Sometimes it takes us numerous attempts at the same task before we master it. I played a lot of baseball growing up. Played a little college ball, high school ball. We had a brick house, and my father was a good bit older than me and busy. And my little brother couldn't handle what I was trying to do. He threw a baseball against our house, I don't know, 20,000, 50,000 times, trying to teach myself how to catch, how to throw. It's a miracle that wall's still standing there. It took that to perfect what I was trying to teach myself as a skill. And when there was nobody else around, then I did it for myself. That's action. Sometimes we may have to refrain from any attempt at all until the moment is right. That's hard, isn't it? That's non-action, not inaction. In both instances, it's the virtue of patience that allows us to be able to accomplish those tasks. Sometimes we just need to step back and take a look at whose clock we're on. Julia told me this morning, she said, check that clock, and I looked at that clock's 5 minutes faster than mine. She said, that's on purpose. We tend to get off to slow starts. Everyone has things to do. Everyone has deadlines. But we need to remember that so much of that hurriedness is self-inflicted. Is it God's time? Paul says that to live by the Spirit is to walk by the Spirit. Are you? Are you walking by the Spirit? If you find that you're not tuned in to God's calendar and God's clock in your life, then maybe you should take a breath, take a step back, breathe, wait a minute. Then I'm just betting that things will become a little more clear. I did that this morning. I don't do this every Sunday, but this morning I took all those pills you take when you get to be my age. Down them with some Ensure to give me some protein. And I started to get up and I stopped. I sat back down and I just said a prayer out loud. Nobody was around. I honestly don't know if I've got 3 sermons left or 413 sermons left. I have not a clue. And I think I'm glad about that. I'm trying to leave it up to God. So I asked him to let me know. And I think he will. All these things we're talking about can start by doing one simple thing. Use a little more patience. Now I want you to say this with me. By the time we get 5 weeks down the road, we'll say them all 9. Let's say those first 4 together. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting this iPad behave so I could try to say something about what you have us to hear this morning. Thank you for patience. We're all woefully short of it. But when we call on your name, we get better. Help us, Father, to do that in the coming days. Help us to be instruments of your word in our lives. We'll give you all the glory. In Christ's name we pray.